That thing is gone. Steve's got a word. Hallelujah. Come on up.
Yeah, I just want to encourage anyone. But singing that song, how great he is, brought me back, and it was hard to sing. Some people heard the story, but when I was a child, I think I died. And I remember sitting up, and I was perplexed because I was thinking, but I looked, and I was laying down. And I'm like, how am I thinking here and not down there? And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not dead. I'm not going to accept this. So I just, in my head, said, God help. And this force just pushed me back in my body. And I looked, and it's so weird with dimensions when we're not in our dimension. My bed didn't have a frame, so I lay flat on the floor on the mattress. But Christ was there, but he was even with me, so it didn't make sense. But when he appeared, there was such a bright light. So bright. And so much love came out of that light. And God's saying, if you don't know me like that, today is the day. I'm not saying you're going to have an out-of-body, but when you get out of your body and you get to go there, you cannot understand how much love comes out of that man. I could barely, I saw a jawline. That was it. And he actually gave me a kiss on the cheek. You know, the next day I thought maybe my brother kissed me goodnight, and he's like, what are you, nuts? But I can't describe, and that love isn't for when we die. He has that love for us now. So God's saying, if you want to know that love, don't let today go by.
Amen. Good word. Good word. Wow, how awesome is our God. I'm just going to put on one light. He is an awesome God. Wow, there's no reason for us not to be full of joy. Even if Jesus just died and paid for our sins so we can have eternal life, that's enough, but he did so much more for us. Hallelujah. He paid so we wouldn't have to be sick and poor and be delivered of the enemy's tactics and everything else that he does for us. All inclusive. So Psalm 100, one of my favorite psalms, says, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Woo! Yes! It says, go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. We have a privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure, and we can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! We're going to have a good time today. Hallelujah. I don't know. He's awesome. Anyone else have a word through all that praise and worship? Well, he's here for whatever you need. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. His presence is everything. His glory is here. How many need a healing in their body today? Raise your hand. Father, we just thank you. We thank you and praise you. We come before you, Lord, as the healer. Christ, you're the healer. You paid for it on the cross. You shed your blood so all of us could walk in health and wholeness and healing. Don't allow the devil to take your healing. He paid for it. So, Lord, I thank you right now that everyone that has pain in their body will be released. Anything that's not right in their body's got to go. That we all line up in wholeness, in total restoration from the top of our heads to the very soles of our feet right now. No matter what it looks like, we don't go by fact. We go by what the word says, and by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and we are whole. Ooh, did somebody walk behind me? Oh, okay. She okay? I think she was touched by something. I did see a flash of an angel wing during Joy, the first song. I was like, oh, did you see that? And she said, no. And I said, I did. Huh? You smell oil? Oh, you did? Okay. All right, let's receive our tithes and offerings right now. If you need an envelope, Trish will come and she'll give you one if you raise your hand. If you want to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around and see Alan back there at the desk. And the rest of the Psalm 100 says, come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him. And affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you, and he is famous for his faithfulness towards all. That's everybody. Everyone. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. Whew. Wow. Glory. How great is thou? Our God is so great. I just keep hearing that over and over. What an awesome God we serve. Oh, the drums. Devil hates drums. The church, years ago, the church wouldn't let drums in. They said it was from the devil. But guess what? The devil hates drums. Yeah, he does. He don't like that. When you beat to the Lord, beating him up. We're taking back our ground. We're taking back our health. We're taking back our wealth. We're taking back everything that the devil has stolen from us. It's time that we don't give in to this stuff. Everything. Okay, go see. Alrighty. It's hot in here, too. Wow. I'm very warm. It's very hot up here. Fire's up here, though. Don't you see the fireplace? I'm standing right in it, right here. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. What? The last time I had something, it did. Oh, okay. I got to talk to you about getting that announcement off. It's time to take it off because he can't come. There's no way now. I haven't heard by now. Sorry. You all ready? Okay. There's one more other thing the Lord says. Pray for our prodigals to come home. I'm going to keep up with that. So, Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you want the prodigals to come home as much as we do. So we call back the sons and the daughters that are out there just wandering around, Lord, in the darkness. We call them back into the light right now. Lord, we thank you and praise you. They're coming back into the kingdom. Lord, we call them back. And, Lord, we thank you for our family and friends, that they will be saved. You said in your word that our whole household will be saved. So, Lord, we stand on that word, and we're not backing down. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, hallelujah. Okay, we're going to lift up the basket and pray over it. Father, we thank you and praise you for today. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you for who you are, that you provide for us anything that we have need of, Lord. You know everything about us. You know what's going on. And, Lord, we thank you that you're working all things out, even if it doesn't look like it. All things are being worked out. said, just be patient. It's coming. So, Lord, we stand on your word, and we thank you, and we praise you for providing every one of our needs, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that every bill is paid, paid on time. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural debt cancellation. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural finances to come in to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay, I got a few announcements to make. Okay, I just pray Carla's okay. I mean, she was touched by the Holy Ghost. So, whatever's going on, I thank you, Lord, that you're with them right now in Jesus' name. Okay, every Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our prayer time. So come on out if you're available. We would love to have you come and join us. More the merrier. Okay, August 30th is a Saturday. Carla and Steve are going to have an open house for the whole church family, a picnic type gathering at their home. I have flyers out in the back. I have a sign-up sheet on the back table. So if you like to go, the time is between 3 and 7. And they live by Boscov's. If you don't know where that is, the address is on the flyer in the back. They're just asking if you could just bring a side dish. You know, they'll provide the hamburgers and the hot dogs. They have a pool. And if necessary, anybody that comes on a spontaneous moment, we can have water baptism and, of course, swimming. Bring your own towels, and please bring your own folding chairs, and hope to see you there. Okay, November 2nd, Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Ed Callens will be back with us. Then December 7th at 7:30 at 10:30 a.m., Dean Braxton will be back with us. And then in 2026, where are we going to be in 2026? What is that going to look like? I think it's going to be different. And February 1st, 2026, Dennis Rainier will be back with us at 10:30. So if you need to pick up a schedule, they're new in the back, and also pick up after church, pick up a schedule for the picnic, and don't forget to sign because they need to know how many people will be coming. Hold on a minute. Father, we just lift up Carla right now, and Lord, we just pour the blood of Jesus all over her right now. Lord, whatever she's going through, Lord, you're with her. And you know what she needs. She needs your mercy, your love, and your compassion right now. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Okay, okay, food pantry, 11 o'clock Wednesday. Also, Donna told me that we need to start to pray for the amount of food that's available. We were just told that Second Harvest does not have any food. That's the main hub for giving out food to all the local pantries. What else do you call them? Kitchens, soup kitchens. They have no meat. We're the only ones that are giving out food in this area. And we get ours from Sam's Club. We don't get really anything from Second Harvest anymore because that was all state and federal food and we didn't care for it. So we don't have any room for it either. Oh, yeah, and they wanted us to buy it. Handle that one? But anyway... They have, their warehouse is empty. They were told churches are calling Donna up and asking if they can come and pick up food for their pantry. So there's a food shortage right now. Not crazy? So we need to start praying for that on Tuesday. Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, hallelujah. It's all good, but God still provides, right? That's why we haven't seen too much on Sunday in the back. We haven't been getting that much. I mean, between the fires out in California, I mean, I guess the fruits and the vegetables aren't growing much, and wherever else they're having problems with weather and everything else. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you have a word for us today in season. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are good ground to receive what you got to say to us today. Lord, I thank you that our hearts are good ground to receive. I thank you, Lord, that we have open hearts, that we have open ears and eyes to see and hear what you're saying to us, Lord, even on an individual basis. Lord, I thank you for this word. And Lord, let the anointing just flow right out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for the past few weeks, I kept hearing the word seed. So I'm meditating on seed. I said, okay, Lord, what about the seed? I mean, I can go anywhere with that, okay? So as I was praying and studying, I got the power of the seed. And this is also could be a transformation message because it has to do with our hearts. And the message is about what's going on in our heart right now. He wants to make sure that our hearts are clean, okay? So this message may not be for you today, and it may be. I don't know. But he knows you better than I do. So I'm just doing what he tells me to do. And I'm going to be obedient to give you what he told me to say. Okay? So, there are three places in the Bible that Jesus speaks about the seed. We're going to look at Mark 4, 1 through 20 later. But it's also in Luke 8, 11 through 18, and in Matthew 13, 18 to 25. Now, there's good seed and there's bad seed. These seeds are knowingly sown and unknowingly sown. One of the meanings for seed in Scripture is words. Seeds are words. Words come into our ears to be processed. Words can produce faith, like it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Words can also produce negativity, fear, and curses. And if received, can be sown in our hearts, and they could take root too. Jesus says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of our mouths is what we produce. Okay? There's a spiritual law called sowing and reaping, and in Genesis it was established. There was a seed, time, harvest. So let's turn to Galatians 6:6 through 9. And Deja will probably put it up on the board, and this the Passion. Six through nine. I'll start in six. It says, and those who are taught the word must share all good things with their teacher. A sharing of wealth takes place between them. Make no mistake about it, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Then it says, and don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping The wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Then it says in the footnote here, it says good seeds would include prayer, Bible study, speaking wise words, giving, loving, dropping seeds every day from a life lived in a new creation life. So whatever we sow, we will reap. It's a spiritual law. We receive the harvest of whatever we plant. Jesus is concerned about the seeds that are sown in us. Of course, he wants to see the word of God sown in our hearts so we would reap the harvest of good. But he also is concerned about the bad seed that is sown in our hearts that have taken root. We need to get rid of those bad seeds out of us and pull out the roots of them, because they are, or they will produce a harvest of what we don't want. Amen? So if we look at our hearts like a garden, I think Jeannie wrote a children's book about the garden. But anyway, it says, so if we want to plant a vegetable garden, we want to see our gardens producing good fruit, right? So why bother? You know, why would we want to plant a vegetable garden if we don't want to see it come up good? A good gardener takes good care of what they have planted. They take good seed. They start off with good seed, plant their seed into good soil, add some organic Miracle-Gro type fertilizer, and they water the seed. As the seed is underground in the dark place, the seed will start to germinate in a little while, and eventually you'll see a little stem, and then you'll see the stalk, and then a tiny vegetable. With good sunlight and rain, we will eventually see and reap a harvest of vegetables out of one seed. And in the fruit or the vegetable, there are many seeds that we can produce another harvest for the following year. This is a natural understanding to the spiritual understanding of how the power of the seed works. So let's now turn to Luke 6, 43, 45. Okay, here it is. It says, you'll never find choice fruit hanging on a bad, unhealthy tree. And rotten fruit doesn't hang on a good, healthy tree. Every tree will be revealed by the quality of fruit that it produces. Figs or grapes will never be picked off thorn trees. People are known in the same way. Out of the virtues stored in their hearts, good and upright people will produce good fruit. But out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will produce what is evil. For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and will be heard in your words. Yuck. Right? Okay. So in the Bible, the symbolic and spiritual meaning of good seed is the word of God, which represents growth, renewal, abundance, provision, and potentially produces transformation, power of faith in our lives. That's how the word of God is alive. The significance of the seed producing growth and transformation is that the seed must die and be buried in the ground before it can sprout and bear good fruit. Believers are called to die to self and to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, Romans 12:2. This process of spiritual growth and maturity is likened to the development of a seed into a mature plant that produces a harvest. But it could go another way. Bad seed produces growth and mindsets of the world system, producing abundance of greed and lust, potentially running down an evil path of destruction. There's all kinds of seeds, words that are planted in us from the time we were little till now. Words do not die. Words go into the atmosphere. We know that this is true because God says his word spoken out will not return to him void, but will produce what it says. So this is a very important principle in the kingdom of God. And Satan knows this principle as well, better than we do maybe. Because in Isaiah 55:11, that's where it says that God's word does not return void, but it also says in Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and we will eat the fruit of it. Whatever's coming out of our mouth, we're going to receive what goes out. And that's where Satan knows this principle better than we do, like I said. He sends words of cursing, destruction, and lies into our ears so we would believe them and it'll go into our hearts and take root. So we would speak those words out of our mouths. Satan would use those words planted in us, not only by him, but social media, the news, also by parents, teachers, religious leaders. They are people we have trusted and respected, and they can or did sow negativity in us unknowingly and knowingly. I'm talking about old roots here too, okay? And we would receive them as truth and believe what they said. It may have sown a harvest in us that need to be uprooted. Here are some examples what I thought of. Now, Barry and I, we grew up with parents that were extremely negative because they didn't know the power of words, and neither did we. And we had to forgive them for that, for what they sown in us. But as little kids, these are just examples. As little kids, some parents would tell their kids, you're never going to amount to anything. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're just like blank, blank, blank. So you become just like blank, blank, blank. Okay, who isn't any good? I thought about Barry there because his mom used to tell him, you act just like blah, blah, blah. I forgot the guy's name, but anyway. So anyway, he turned out okay. Because of Jesus. And what about teachers? Some of us may have been taught wrong ways of thinking. They taught that we needed to conform to this world system and their ways of doing things. Some teachers were abusive, and they made a lasting impression on our lives. I know I've been through some abusive things with teachers. I know my kids did too, and they were in a Christian school. Okay? They were sown some pretty bad stuff. And they grew up with all kinds of anxieties and insecurities. And then, what about the religious leaders that we may have sat under? They would put in us fear about, I'm talking about Catholic Church now. They would put in fear about God, and God is going to get us. He's going to kill us because we're sinning. We're sinners going to hell. That's all we ever heard. They would never sow the good seed or the truth in us, only lies. And then there was other churches, too, that never really taught about the cross properly. So we didn't know that we were redeemed from the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and death. And we grew up thinking that everything that comes by, we're going to get. Every cold, allergy, whatever, you name it. And we didn't know about love. We didn't know about forgiveness. We didn't know about deliverance. You know, these are all things that may have been sown in us that we're still walking with or dealing with or fighting with, trying to get that out of it. Like, you know what the word says, but I'm not there yet. I don't walk in that yet. Okay? It's because that seed in there, we got to get it out. Okay, now let's turn to the sower, sows the word. I'm the sower today. I'm sowing the word. Mark 4:2-20. You're a sower too. We all could be sowers, but how are we sowing? We want to be good sowers. Okay. Mark 4:2. This is Jesus talking to his people here at first, and then he'll talk to the disciples. He said, he taught them many things about using parables to illustrate spiritual truths, saying, consider this, A farmer went out to sow seeds. As he cast his seeds, some of it fell along the beaten path, and some soon the birds came and ate it. Other seeds fell onto gravel with no topsoil, and the seeds quickly sprouted since the soil had no depth. But then the days grew hot. The sprouts were scorched and withered because they had insufficient roots. Other seeds fell among the thorns, so when the seeds sprouted, so did the thorns, crowding out the young plants so that they could produce no grain. But some of the seeds fell onto good, rich soil that kept producing a good harvest. Some yielded 30, 60, and some even 100 times as much as was planted. If you understand this, then you need to respond. This is what he says. Afterwards, Jesus' disciples and those close to him remained behind to ask Jesus about his parables. He said to them, "The privilege of intimately knowing the mystery of God's kingdom realm has been granted to you, but not to the others, where everything is revealed in parables. For even when they see what I do, they will not understand, and when they hear what I say, they will learn nothing. Otherwise, they would repent and be forgiven." Then he said to them, "If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of them? Let me explain. The farmer sows the word as seed, and what falls on the beaten path represents those who hear the word, but immediately Satan appears and snatches it out from their hearts. The seed sown on gravel represents those who hear the word and receive it joyfully, but because their hearts fail to sink a deep root into the word, they don't endure for long. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, they immediately wilt and fall away. And the seed sown among the thorns represents those who hear the word but allow the cares of this life and the seduction of the wealth and the desires for other things to crowd out and choke the word so that it produces nothing. But the seed sown on good soil represents those who open their hearts to receive the word, and their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times more than was sown." Jesus tells us if we don't understand this parable, we're not going to understand any of them. So this is a principle here. Jesus wants us to produce from his word planted in us 30, 60, and 100-fold harvest. But he also warns us about Satan to beware of his tactics. Satan wants to immediately take the word out of our hearts, and he uses weapons of his to choke it out. Afflictions, which are various forms of suffering, sickness, infirmity, hardships, trials, physical ailments, emotional distress, persecutions, poverty, and lack. He uses the cares of the world, mental suffering, grief, oppression of the mind, weighed down by responsibility, concerns, anxiety, worry, things that bring you into troubling emotions and fears. Deceitfulness of riches, lies, deceptions, lust of other things, distractions, etc. Jesus doesn't want us to have these things take root. And if they did, we have to uproot them out of our hearts. Jesus says, he said this, say this, stop cursing yourself and agreeing with what Satan says to you. He's so loud about that. We do it all the time without even realizing it. In the natural realm, it may be a fact. It may be real, okay, in the natural. But say the things that Jesus says, or say a positive word. You'll be planting good seed. Anything that you agree with will also come to pass. So I would rather agree with Jesus. How about you? Remember, there is seed, there's time, and harvest. When we pray, we are watering the seed. We also are dismantling or stopping the works of the enemy off what we're praying for. We know the Bible says that there is seed, the time, with that's the waiting period. Remember, when we plant a seed, we don't see the vegetable the next day. Okay? There's a waiting period here. And that is where we got to keep watering the seed with the Word of God. And then the harvest comes, and then the answer comes. We can't give up on praying for something or someone to come to pass. We can't do that. We have to continue to speak the word over it, continue to declare the word over it until it produces the end result, which we want to see the victory of it, right? The answer, the good answer. We can't go by what we see, but by what our faith eye sees, agreeing with God's word. So let's check ourselves. Let's ask the question, do we have any roots or bad seed planted in us that is choking the life out of us? If so, let's uproot them and ask the Holy Spirit to show us and pull them out, because they have to die. Okay, let's just take this time. Now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, but He may not show it to you right this minute or right this moment, but He will, promise me, because He wants to get those things out of us, okay? So let's bow our heads and just ask the Holy Spirit to come. This is very important to Jesus. And most important, He says, please stop saying what Satan says. Say what I say, what Jesus says in His word. Okay, so He's telling me, all right, He wants me to get rid of all the curse words that were spoken out of our mouth. We're going to call them off assignment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call off every curse word that came out of our mouth. We will not let that seed go into our hearts or out of our mouths to somebody else in their hearts. We call it off assignment now. We break its power. It will not prosper. It's got to die right now. And Father, I thank You right now, Holy Spirit, that You're working on our hearts right now. And Lord, if there's, You know in our hearts where we're got something in there that should come out. So, Lord, You show us those things. Uproot them for us, Lord. We want them out of there. You want us to have pure hearts. So out of a pure heart, we will speak good things out of our mouth. And this kind of like, because we're in the world, we kind of just adapt to that sort of thing, and we all fall into it. So, Lord, we break that now, that habit of conforming to this world and just speaking what we see. And, Lord, we thank You that You're going to catch our tongues so they will not speak those things, and that we will always speak good about ourselves, about our health, about our families, about our friends, so things can turn around. Lord, You tell us to always declare the word out of our mouth, and You will stand by it, because Your word does not return to You void, and it's got to produce what it says. So, Lord, I thank You right now that You'll begin to show us those places that need to be changed, because You came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. Yeah. He's saying He came here so we would have life and enjoy our life. There's been lives sown in us, and I don't know where it started, that Christians are not supposed to enjoy their life. That is a bunch of bunk. We're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to be here. He gave us this life to show who He is. He's the God of love. He's not a God that's here to kill us. Because He came because He loved the world. He loved people. He loved people so much that He gave His Son. Because He loved us that much. And He wants to see good things for us. He wants us to walk in every thing that he paid for on that cross. So, Lord, we thank you for those things, Lord, right now. And I break off all lies, saying lies, break off the lies. Every lie, we're going to capture every lie that comes into our minds. We're going to capture it. We're not going to take it and plant it in us. We're going to call it off assignment immediately. And we will have discernment and we will know. We will be aware of those lies that are going forth. And Lord, if there's things that we shouldn't be watching or hearing because it's putting negativity in us, Lord, just show us what to do. And we'll be obedient. Lord, we thank you and praise you today, Lord. We thank you for touching us in a deep way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo!